Okay. We're going to start with prayer. Because Sheila was meant to present the finances this morning, but Sheila's not well. And I know Luana's not well, and Judah's not. Is recovering from lots of flu that's going around. But is there anyone else that's not well here this morning? Would you put your hand up? Okay. So if you keep your hand up, I want those that need you to stretch out. And we're just going to pray. Yeah. Yeah, Father, we've just been singing truth about who you are. And illness is not your nature. Lord, I just pray that you will bring healing to this church family. Lord, we particularly pray for Sheila now and Luana and Judah. But Lord, we also pray for those that have put their hands up here this morning. Lord, you know the ailment, you know the condition. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you move like that healing balm oil that you do, and that you bring healing and restoration. You bring refreshment. You allay any concerns, and you bring peace to them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Yeah. In Jesus' name. For your glory, Father, we ask. Amen. Now, you're going to see lots of different faces up here today, which is good. But I know sometimes it's difficult, but hold this in the context of what we're sharing is family, and you're part of this. So my prayer is that you are stirred by this. And if there's one area that you want to get stirred about, it's finance. So we pray this Holy Spirit is heavily upon Bill now as he deputizes for his good lady.
I wasn't planning to do the words before the numbers, so Lord, guide my lips, because I haven't been preparing this bit. I want to start with a scripture at the beginning, and I want to finish with a scripture at the end, because we need to put all this into context. A couple of years ago, one of the scriptures that really spoke to me was Luke 8, verse 16. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. And instead he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. And while I'm talking about the numbers, this is also about us and God's work in us. And this building. For God hasn't put a light here to have it hidden. And that gives us two thoughts there, if you like. One is real confidence, because if he wants to make it work, he is going to make it work. And the second one is, he wants to do it through us. And many people will read that scripture as individuals. God wants to work in my life. But I felt very strongly at that time that this was for the building. And the numbers very much here are tied in with us as a family and this building. I think there is also a challenge to us here that God has given it to us, and we must focus on what he wants to do, but we must not be arrogant. This is his work, not ours. And actually talking about this building is much more blows people away from Christians than it does for non-Christians, actually. They want to know about our lives, not about the building. So whilst this is all about the church finances and the building, let's remember that it's only a building and God wants to work through us, and he wants to show off himself through this building and through us. And so I put that in context for the numbers. So can we start off with the first slide? I want to go back to 2007 and where the numbers were. 2017. Can we do the two halves there? That's it, thank you. So 2017, we'd actually forecast... Okay. I'm hoping there's another piece on the... That's it. That's the bit I want. We started off expecting quite a big loss. And actually 2017 turned up into a surplus of about 4,000. I'm excluding food bank, and I'll come back to those. That's a slightly different number to what we saw at 2017, because I've taken food bank out. Food bank is a separate chunk of numbers, and so I've done that. But effectively, we had £114,000 worth of income, we had £110,000 worth of costs, and we had a surplus of £4,000, which was a big swing on where we thought we were going to be. So let's have a look at 2018. So can we have the next slide? Right. So, we set a target, and actually, again, we expected a loss, mainly because we knew that we were going to have the builders come out of the big room, the room at the bottom, and we were uncertain about our rental income in one or two cases. So we'd actually forecast a slightly lower income, and we'd forecast a much bigger cost, and we were again looking at a fairly chunky loss. Well, actually, our income came in above. Not, it didn't go down, it went up. And it went up in principle on the rental income. We had a small swing between church giving, between what goes into the church and what doesn't, but the two together of church giving maintained itself. Other church income... fairly small. We always budget fairly small because we don't know what's going to be there. Often the costs match it. But effectively, we were up £4,000 on income on the rental. Can we have the next slide? And our costs were up a little. We'd forecast a lot more because we'd got things like buying the building. And obviously, that's coming up in a bit later on. So our income went up £3,000. Our staff costs kind of went up by inflation. And the other costs, in principle, were quite similar as far as that's concerned. So we finished up, next slide, with a surplus of £5,000, which is about £30,000 better than we expected. Thank you, God. But you can see from these why I talk about the building and the church. Because actually the building has now become quite integral in what we do and how we do it. One of the things we have got to do, I feel very strongly, is, and I keep going back in my personal journey to where the Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. And I feel that there is a challenge to us that we don't make this building an icon, if you like. It is a tool that God is using for his kingdom. Our income, you know, church giving is very similar to where we've been for years. But what's really changed is this building. So where are we looking for 2019? Okay, here we go. Slide. We are expecting the rental income to increase again. But, and here's the challenge, Our church income last year, whilst it was stable, was higher in the first part than the second. We have lost a number of members. So at this time, realistically, we've looked at a lower income, which has its own issues. I haven't got that far yet. Can we go back one? Thank you. So we're looking at, we're down 3,000, it's mainly because the income on the building has matched the church giving. As I said a minute ago, other church income at 1,500 is simply because we don't know other events that will be there. That will, I am sure, by the time we finished, be up where the church income was for 2018. But some of the costs will be up as well. So, yeah, down slightly on income. Right, let's do the costs. And this is where we as directors have taken a big gulp. And the costs have gone up. Well, we're projecting over £30,000. Back in the beginning of the new year, we decided that instead of replacing with a part-time coordinator, we felt that we needed to move on, and we took on Chris full-time. And thank you, Chris, for all you're doing at the moment regarding the building and making us more visible and connecting up. It is part of where what God wants to do is taking us. But that came with a fairly big challenge on costs. Chris is in for 10 and a half months. He replaces somebody. One of the hopes, I think, is that we may get some grant money to help with that, but point for prayer, I think, as far as that is concerned for people. So our staff costs are up because we've replaced a part-time coordinator with a full-time manager here. The centre building costs are up a little bit. They're not up a lot. I mean, we tend to budget them going up a bit. And I just want to thank Dave because he keeps those costs down every year. And it's not at the cost of the building looking great. You know, some places they'll cut the costs and you'll see it. Here, Dave keeps the cost down and it still looks great. And if I look at it, donations are about the same. Church costs is the things like all our other activities. I'm trying to think what goes in there. Help me, people. Training. It goes in if we do hospitality, refreshments, service costs, all of those things. If you like, it's the stuff that isn't to do with us, the centre for, I was going to say the outside people, but we'd like to see them as inside people. So they are fairly similar. The big difference is purchase and improvements. We are at the moment got lawyers talking to lawyers with regard to buying the building. And those costs, the legal costs we've budgeted for 2017 and 2018 and have been knocked forward are now likely to land in 2019. And that's there. And then we've planned to start doing some work on the building. So that's the big difference on the costs. So the purchase and improvements have jumped a lot. Staff costs have jumped. The rest is fairly similar. And so the result is looking at and waiting for God to change the numbers. Go on. That's a bigger minus than we've ever seen. But God has never left it at that number before. So we're trusting. But as I said, I think we need not to be complacent as far as that is concerned. It is a number. God has actually pumped a bit of extra money over the last 2 years. We're looking for him to do new stuff and extra stuff this year. And I think it is a point of prayer. These numbers are an indication. Somebody keeps talking about we're not a thermometer, we're a thermostat. I like to think of it as a barometer. This numbers is indicative of many things. The last 2 years we were not quite sure, and God has always come in through better. You know, and it isn't just the numbers, it's the other stuff as well. So we're looking forward to him working this year. Point for prayer. God, work in our church and in us. Because it isn't only about the building. It isn't only about us as a group, as a family. God wants to work in each and every one of us and is challenging us. Right, and I've got another last slide, which is a food bank. Food bank is a separate chunk of numbers. It excludes the food that goes through. These are the numbers. Food bank has its own set of numbers within the figures. And over a few years, Dave had a fairly big surplus on food bank, and we've actually made a bit of a concerted effort to shrink it, but we certainly haven't grown it. And the last 2 years, smallish minuses. Food bank pays some money to hire the building here for the food storage, not for anything else. If we took that out, that would actually change from minus to plus, as far as that is concerned. 2019, it'll look better than that by the time it's finished. We have it in God's hands, and it always seems to work that way. So food bank is, to all intents and purposes, washing its face. I think Dave's going to do a bit on food bank later, so I won't go into that. So can I leave you with a scripture that Sheila did have, which is 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And I think the challenge for us this year, whether it's numbers or anything else, is where is our priority? Richard has preached on money, and I don't want to just limit to money, but he said, you know, don't tithe, because it's not about tithing. I remember having these discussions with other people in church before. They say, oh, I give my tithe, you know, I've given my 10%, whatever it is. The rest is mine. It's all God's. It's a question of how much he lets us have left. On that goes money, time, anything else. There was a saying once, show me a man's wallet and I'll show you where his heart is. Actually, you look at people's time and where it is. That isn't to say that God wants to consume all our time. But I think it comes back to, he wants first call. It's where your priority is, whether it's money or time. And so I'd like to just pray now and thank God for what he has done with us and blessing us on our numbers. Heavenly Father, I don't know why we ever doubt. You know, we doubt sometimes. We set these kind of things and we gulp and we think, oh dear, but you are a fantastic God. You know, if it's your plan, and we pray for our leaders that we are in, they are in your plan, then why are we surprised when it comes out much better than it does? Thank you for the surplus in 2018. And we lay before you 2019. And we wait with wonder to see you change those numbers to back to a black again. Speak to each of us this year, each day, about what you want in our lives. May our priority and our money or our other things be focused on you. And thank you for just being a wonderful God. A God that made everything. A God who sent his Son to die for us. A God that still wants a relationship with us. And wants us to know that relationship. Thank you for Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Bill. Thank you. I just want to thank, I know Sheila's not here, but thank Sheila and Bill for what they do with the finances. And it's never an easy area to do, and it can be headachy sometimes. But not only are they faithful, they are faithful with it as well. And, you know, we don't want to do anything as a church that isn't on God's plan and his purposes. But in our faith journey, we will always hit a ceiling where he says, will you trust me again? And that's individually and corporately. And we think, wow, 28,000 for this year. But that's part of the journey to the 1.2 million annex that's going to go out there. And you think, oh, how is he going to do that? Because the way he's done everything else and brings it through. But we've all got a part to play in that. So Dave's just going to come and share a bit about now the purchase of the centre.
Morning, folks. I just want to go through a few thoughts. And one is, I've read this email before, but I'm going to read it again because it actually just says it very clearly. This is a thoughts from an email that Alan Ball wrote. And he'd been chatting to Dave Webb and Rosie Rosenberg, and this is the email Alan sent. It's a new year with new and exciting opportunities and faith steps to take. I was reflecting with Dave Webb and Rosie Rosenberg on Monday. In April, we will have been in our new church home 4 years. So that's now, we're here 4 years. We've seen fulfilled prophecies, new people join us, employment opportunities, increased bookings, financial stability, recognition from authorities and high-profile individuals, new services and organizations wanting to use us and work with us, and many other things that just in the short time we have been here. None of this would be possible without God. He has enabled and equipped us each to reach out and step out in faith for him and in our community and beyond. Now, he wrote that email back in January, and the truth of it is just still with us. The centre continues to become busier and busier with God's favour and the hard work of the centre staff, both past and present. The centre continues to be the light in the community. And as Bill mentions, we're so grateful for what Chris is doing and actually enhancing that. God's timing is amazing. But, and this is my but, I have to say at some times it wasn't necessarily obvious what God's timing was. But the truth is, that steps we have taken in this building have been steps of faith. also there's been steps when we've actually been shown by God to put things down because the light has changed. What he's showing us has changed. From an early stage, we knew we should be buying the building, and we've taken the appropriate steps. Remember, when we first moved in, the big thing is we were going to convert this room. Didn't take long to realize that that wasn't right. But God has opened doors all the way along our journey. I was chatting with the architect on Friday night and reminding him of when we met with the environmental agency to tell them we needed to move the mound, to move it back so that we could have some space. We spent the morning arguing and getting our plans ready so that we could put our case to the environmental agency. So all our arguments were in place. We started the meeting, and after the introductions, the EA, the Environmental Agency project leader, opens the discussion by stating, "We need to change the layout of the mound to allow a road between the building and the mound for the Cannock Council." That's exactly what we wanted. We'd spent all morning arguing, getting this right to convince them, and then they come and tell us that's what they're going to do. I have to say, thank you, God. God has walked ahead of us throughout this whole project. We've had lots of discussions with the County Council representative, and he's always been very helpful. But everything takes time. And I mean, everything takes time. However, looking back, I don't think we had a full picture of what we wanted or needed. God has opened doors as we have gone along, so it has become clearer. We realized we wanted more than the building. We would need all the land around the site as well, which the County Council representative agreed to, but the original price never altered. Where have you been in a house sale or building sale and you had all that land and the price has never changed? It's interesting the way God does deals compared to our deals, isn't it? So the heads of terms agreement, which is the outline of the sale of the building and the land, was presented to the Staffordshire County Council on Wednesday the 6th of March. We were told we wouldn't get an official answer till the week after, the Wednesday or the Thursday after. We were meeting with some councillors and officials on Tuesday afterwards on the 12th. The first councillor who arrived came in saying, "I'm glad the sale of the building's gone through and it's been passed." Chris Fielding and I looked at each other and wanted to shout, "Yes!" But we didn't. We just smiled and going. But again, thank you, God. He's taken those steps and sorted out those things. The papers have now been passed as solicitors, and we're going through the legal stuff to bring the sale to a conclusion. Bill Douthwaite is overseeing this for us. Thank you so much, Bill, for doing that. That is just immense. This is a very shortened version of the amazing story of what's happening to us as a family here in this place. Keep praying though, because the contracts and the sale, that they go through correctly and that there's no limitations. And all I can say is, thank you, God.
Amen. Thanks, Dave. I was praying last week and I felt God gave this word of encouragement, really, and actually put this in perspective, because for me it's never about the building, it's about the land it's on, and the fact he's given us extra land. And I felt God say this. He said, "The centre is the territory that God has entrusted to us. He wants us to accept it as a significant opportunity to touch individual lives, the community we live in, and the larger world for his glory. And then came the challenge. Ask him to enlarge that opportunity, because that only brings him delight. We never want to settle for anything less than he has for us. The only time I ever want to settle is when I get to heaven. Otherwise, we keep pushing on and pushing into God, thanking him all the time. So now we're going to come to some snippets of community news. And Dave's going to come and share about Food Bank. Jacqueline's going to come and share about the listening team. Wendy's going to come and do Activate. Jan's going to do cinema. And then I'm going to do free hugs. They're just going to be quick snippets of what we are doing as a church family in the community. So, Dave.
Good morning. Well, we've been singing about how good God is this morning, and we've been hearing about how good God is this morning, and it continues. Rugeley Food Bank. Rugeley Food Bank has now been in operation for nearly 7 years. And just to give some idea of how much food we're handling, in that 7 years, the total amount of food in has been 90,000 kilograms. The total amount of food that we've given out has been 83,000 kilograms. All that food has been donated. All that food has been given out to 8,841 clients, beneficiaries. That consists of 5,267 adults and 3,574 children. Now, breaking that down on a yearly basis, last year we had just over 15,500 kilograms of food in. We gave out just over 14,000 kilograms, which left us a surplus of 1,500 kilograms. And that was given out to 1,590 clients, which was 944 adults and 646 children. Now, year on year, we go to the annual conference, and year on year they say there's been a huge increase in the use of food banks. But we haven't really noticed that here in Rugeley. We've noticed a slight increase, but not anything massive. And I think of late, the big increase has been because of the introduction of universal credit. But just to give you an oversight of how it has increased here at Rugeley, 2012, when we started, we were only in operation for 6 months because we started in June, we had 86 clients. 2013, 1,043, which was up 957. 2014, it was again up 270. 2015, up 173. 2016, down 37. 2017, up by 3. And last year was up by 109. Private donations and donations from local churches account for most of the food collected. But in December, the food bank conducted a supermarket collection at Rugeley Tesco store, and that brought in a total of 1,804 kilograms. We've had a couple of significant donations, and one was from the Staffordshire Signals Regiment. They donated over a ton of food last Christmas, and they were told that they weren't going on the Christmas annual leave unless they had a wagon full of food, and they came with a wagon full of food. And another big donation was from the Hart School. They, twice a year, they have a non-uniform day. And again, we had over a ton of food donated by them. So what else do the food bank do? Well, over the last 3 years, we've had the annual Christmas for Kids, which is a pop-up stall in the local market. That's the old market by the bus station. And the aim is to help people get through Christmas debt-free by collecting unwanted toys throughout the year and selling them on the market stall, not at a fixed price, but at a price that people felt was fair or they could afford. It wasn't a money-making venture for Food Bank. But we managed to raise £2,200 in the three and a half week run up to Christmas. And that went to first responders. And that was the food bank's way of saying a huge thank you to the community for the support and the donations that they've given to us. Because first responders is obviously a service that any one of us might need any day. And that hopefully helped people out. Over the Christmas period, in what can be a sensitive and stressful time of year. We've had an increase in agencies, that's the people that hold vouchers and refer people to the food bank, from 87 to 99. One issue we do have in Rugeley is that there's nothing in Rugeley for people in crisis. We've got the CAB, Antlers, which is the little restaurant down by the bridges, they've just opened up and doing a Tuesday night every fortnight, preparing meals for those in need. But basically everything, every place that we have to refer people to is outside of Rugeley, whether it's Cannock, if people have got drug issues, drink issues, and these places, Burton. So we struggle in that respect. This week, we had two new agencies. That was South Staffs Police. They're supporting a particular individual, and they turned up one Friday afternoon saying they couldn't get any support from anywhere, and at that time on a Friday afternoon, could we help out? So we put a food parcel together, and they've been back to us, and now they're voucher holders. And Redbrook Hayes Primary School, they came on board this week. Now, the food bank wouldn't work at all without the volunteers. We have 13 totally committed volunteers, 10 occasional who come when they can, 2 students and 4 others who oversee various liaison admin roles. Some volunteers this year moved on because of ill health or personal reasons, but we've managed to recruit equal numbers. And one thing is, we've never ever had to advertise for volunteers. They've always come to us. Friday afternoons, we still employ 2 adults from Voyager Daycare Centre with learning difficulties, and that allows them to partake in meaningful activity and interact socially. And a new recruitment drive, if I can call it that, we've recently had 4 new volunteers join us, which Jacqueline's going to talk about a bit later on. I just want to give you a few snippets from our audit. We get audited every year by the Trussell Trust. The area manager comes out and makes sure that we're complying with all rules and regulations, safeguarding health and safety, and that we're keeping up the good name of the Trussell Trust. And just a couple of little snippets from the summary from that report. The food bank has good facilities and a great team of volunteers. There's a lovely, welcoming, happy atmosphere at Rugeley Food Bank. Rugeley Food Bank is a financially stable project that is well supported by the board of directors. The directors have good oversight over the food bank, its development and how it operates alongside other community projects within the church. And Rugeley Food Bank is an exceptional project and a great example of a charity providing more than food projects to reduce destitution and social isolation in their community. The food bank is well supplied with food donations from local schools, churches and individuals. It should be noted that although Rugeley Food Bank has 99 referral agencies, many of these are from outside the town, and so they have done well to build up these relationships. I mentioned about connections into the community, further connections that we've had. Obviously, we had the great honour and pleasure to be associated with Activate, which Dave and Wendy are going to talk about a bit later on as well. We've also had a promotional stand at Rugeley Community Day. We hosted a class of 30 primary school children from Chancel, were involved with dating, sorting, and storing food that they'd brought along to donate. The same school also organised a supermarket collection with Tesco, which proved again to be a great success. Collections and brief presentations at school harvest festivals have also provided this opportunity. A bit later on this month, we're going into Rockland School in Lichfield. We've had a group of pupils from Chancellor Gain. I don't know if you've seen the Channel 4 series on the telly where the four-year-olds went into the care homes. Well, we ran a similar sort of thing here where the youngsters came in and shared their experiences with a selection of older folks, shall we say. And that turned out to be a great success, and they're going to do that again. We had a class of French exchange students from the Hart School. That was a very interesting morning. In France, they don't have anything at all like food banks, and they were just flabbergasted at what we do and why we've really got the need to do it. I'd just like to say two thank yous, really. A thank you to the directors, and that was obviously highlighted in the annual report. The directors obviously allow the food bank to operate from here, and we feel fully supported, and obviously we had the use of the hire of the room for storing food. We do spread out a little bit. If you've ever been in the art room sort of around Christmas time, you'll realise what I mean. In fact, it's still there from Christmas time now. So we don't like to take advantage of the building, but we do need a bigger building. We need more storage. And the other thank you is to Marie. And Marie has supported me throughout the time I've worked here at the food bank and set it up. But Marie does a lot of the unseen work. All the new volunteers that we get in, she puts through the induction. She trains them up on the front desk. Marie actually works on the front desk, and that can be a difficult job. You've got people coming in that are anxious, they're depressed, they sometimes takes all their effort to get in through the door. You sometimes get people coming in that are totally out the tree on drugs and alcohol, and she has to deal with all that, along with three other dedicated front desk volunteers. She carries the phone around with her all the time, and obviously answers queries on the hoof. And of course, a big thing about food bank is signposting. We get people into the food bank that have obviously got issues, but we try and signpost them on to further help. And again, that's another big thing from thing that they do at the front desk there. They sit people down, chat to them, talk them through further help and where they can go on to. And just as a summary, I'd like to give you a flavour of how the food bank are helping to change the atmosphere within the town and reviving hope and restoring dignity in our community. And we encourage, we don't encourage, we ask people if they want to share their stories, the clients that come in, if they want to share their stories. And I've just got a couple here that sort of show what we do and the sort of people we're dealing with and the situations they're in. So the two questions on the shared story sheet are, please, could you explain to help us understand what's caused your crisis and how has the food bank helped you? And just a couple of those are waiting for benefit decisions, so therefore got into debt, fell behind with bills, etc. No income left for food, especially this time of year. Very upsetting. Without this help and wonderful people, don't know what I'd do as I suffer mental health issues. And how has the food bank helped you? Help me survive, stay focused, and being helpful with support and advice when needed on many issues which I struggle with. I thank them so much. And that was from a 61-year-old. Another one, the DSS seem not to care about people's problems and try as hard as they can not to pay any money out until I'm nearly dying. And how's the food bank help you? It's the greatest help ever, and I sing their praises always. Thank you. God bless you all. From an individual who lives on her own in a bungalow, I've had some of my income cut on our first experienced delays, then was put in contact through friends. Without this help, I don't know how I would have managed. Loads of information on other help, which I'm entitled to. I'm so grateful. Lovely staff, nothing's a trouble. Another one, domestic violence caused me to be homeless, which caused me to be jobless. Now I have a flat, but not enough money. How's the food bank helped you? By giving me support and helped me with more than the food. Another one, 37-year-old with two older children, two teenagers. The food bank has helped me to feed myself and my children. Once back on my feet and my leg fixed by the NHS, I will donate food back to help people in need. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And nearly there. How's the food bank helped you? It has helped me way more than you will ever know, not least by having to steal to get food. You are all angels, and I can't thank you enough. And the final one, from an elderly couple, 65-year-old and 59-year-old. That makes me elderly. I had knee surgery years ago, which failed. Then I had bowel cancer. I'm waiting for back surgery in the future. And how did the food bank help you? People do not know how valued you are. People do not know how valued you are to people like myself. I don't know how we would have coped without you. Caring. Love to all you people. So that sums up, really, like I said before, how we're changing the atmosphere and restoring hope, reviving hope and restoring dignity. And as you can see from those summaries there, there's lots of opportunity for prayer, and that's where I think Jacqueline's going to take over.
And then we're just going to change things around a bit, but I just want to thank also Dave for what he does in that, as well as Marie. So thanks, Dave. We're just going to change things around slightly because we've got a few more things that we want to just share. And we're just going to take a couple more minutes, if that's okay, and then you have a well-earned cup of tea. We're actually just going to get Chris to come and share about the community weekend, which is next weekend, and then we'll have tea.
Hello. We had lots more amazing, exciting stuff to come, but we can't really follow that. So one last thing. Next weekend is going to be a very different weekend for us as a church. We're calling it our community weekend. And this is a great opportunity for us to actually be involved with the community, show them love practically, and build relationships. And we can pray that those relationships will lead somewhere. So on Saturday, we have the opportunity to have a stall at what they're calling the Rugeley Indoor Fiesta. What that actually involves is, if you come on Saturday, you'll see. The Rugeley Rotary have organised this as an event to try and get local groups and organisations together in the indoor market hall, 10 till 4. Each of the organisations, they're there to promote themselves, but they're also there to provide a bit of fun for the family and the visitors and stuff. So we're going to have an air hockey table. There's going to be all sorts of games and fun things that you can do. So we're going to be promoting the centre there and the church and the food bank and Activate and all the different things that we do. So one of the things I've identified being the manager at the centre is that we really need to just raise our profile of the things that we do. And it'd be really good if anyone is available on Saturday to come and volunteer, just to be on the stand to help run the air hockey, to say hello to people. And we're also combining it with the free hugs as well. So we'll have the free hugs people standing in the town centre where they normally are, hugging people or scaring people. Scaring people into the indoor market or hugging them in. That's very inappropriate. So maybe if I could just put you on the spot, could I have a show of hands of anyone who'd be happy maybe just to give an hour of their time or so on Saturday to help me with the stall? Might just be saying hello to people, giving out leaflets. We've got one, and have I got any improvement on one? We've got two, we've got three, we've got four. Brilliant, yes. Great, so that's Saturday. So do please come along and see what else is there. Sunday, we have something very different on the Sunday. We have an opportunity to be truly a church without walls and to go outside into the big wide world and clean up all the rubbish. And I have noticed there's a lot of rubbish out there today. I've been secretly planting it out there just to make sure we've got some to pick up. One of the local councillors has decided she wants to put on a Rugeley wide litter pick, and she wanted to meet in our car park at 10:30 on Sunday next week. And we thought actually this is a great opportunity for us to be a church without walls, to actually go and partner with the volunteers who are litter picking. And then use the hall as a base for people to come back to and have tea and coffee. So if you feel fit enough and able enough to come and join us, what we're going to do next Sunday is we're going to gather here at 10 o'clock and have a little bit of time of worship and prayer. And then at 10:30, anyone who wants to join in, we're going to meet in the car park outside. We're going to go in little groups, either twos or in families or small groups. Each group will get a litter picker and a bin bag. There'll be a little briefing to start with just on health and safety and where to go, and we're mainly going to focus in the town centre. And it's going to be a great opportunity just to come alongside people from the community who are volunteering, just chat to them and get to know them. And then from 12 o'clock, we'll be back here for tea, coffee and cake. And we're inviting everyone back in. So again, it's a really great chance to start talking to people and getting to know them a bit, and for people to see what we're doing here. If you don't want to go out, or you can't go out for any reason, or the hail comes back or whatever, then you're very welcome to stay here, and we're going to put on a video, and we'll need a little bit of help just setting up all the refreshments as well. So there's something for everyone, hopefully. And even if you can't get out, people are going to be coming here after the litter pick, so everyone's got an opportunity to meet some new people, to have a chat or to serve them, which will be great. Again, could I have a little show of hands of anyone who'd be very kind enough to make or buy a cake to bring along next Sunday? We've got a few. Yes, thank you very much. If you could just bring that on Sunday morning, that would be fantastic. Anything else I need to cover?
I think just to say I'll be staying, and for those who are unable to go, we shall be. I want to talk on the local church is a family, not a business. And it's a very good talk, so do that. Some of the things we haven't had time to share, we will put into the newsletter or take some opportunity at another time to share, but we're conscious of the time. So let's finish in prayer, and then we'll go and have tea and biscuits. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing with us as a family. Lord, I thank you that we're about your plans and purposes. Lord, we want to give you thanks for all the good things that you're doing with us and in us, and the way that we are touching community. And Lord, I just pray that that will increase. Lord, I want to see salvations come through, Father. Lord, I want to see people who haven't got hope have hope and restoration because they've given their life to you, Jesus. So I thank you that you're using us and this facility to do that. I just pray that you will just increase us, add to us, and Lord, give us that boldness in spirit to step out, whether that's in the middle of a shop or whether it's with our neighbours. That, Lord, that I thank you that you in us is the answer to this town and this region. In Jesus' name, amen.